to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. We are glad that you have chosen to spend the next half hour with us here on the Refresh radio program, brought to you by the Saints at Merritt Assembly of God. And we are truly thankful that you have tuned in. Right now, we are talking about seeking justice. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And when we seek his kingdom and his righteousness, we need to look and see what all that entails. And one of those things is seek justice. Seek justice. And we have been working through the Bible, talking about these different aspects. And yesterday we were in we were in the book of Psalms, 106, Psalm 106, and in verse number 2, it says, who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can declare all his praise? Blessed are those who keep justice, and he who does righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor you have toward your people. O visit me with your salvation, that I may see the benefit of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. And so that's what we were talking about, that there is a blessing for being a just person. And, one of the things that we've talked about in the past week or so was that for the godly to be blessed, is justice. It is justice. There is a reward for living in obedience to the things of God. There are consequences for living in disobedience to the commands of God. And so I want you, as we go through Psalm 106 here, not verse by verse, but we're going to cover some passages. I want you to remember, blessed are those who keep justice, and we're going to see some various aspects of what blessing looks like. A lot of times we think that blessing is an additive. It's something that gets added to us. There's an emotional joy, there's favor, there's provision, and those things. But as we go through Psalm 106, I want to show you that blessing can also be some things that are excluded from your life. To give you an example, there are a couple of ways that you can be financially blessed. You can be financially blessed by having a greater source of income, and you can also be financially blessed by there being a lesser degree of expenses. Either way, it results in you having the financial wherewithal that you need to function as an individual or a family or a church or a business or whatever. And so we're gonna look at Psalm 106, and I want you to remember that blessed are those who keep justice, and we'll describe some of these blessings. In verse number 6, it says, we have sinned with our fathers, we have committed iniquity, we have done wickedly. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies, but rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his namesake, that he might make his mighty power known. So the first thing that I want you to see is that those who keep justice are blessed because they don't have any rebellion in their life. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. It brings spiritual activity into the life of an individual, a family, an organization, or a country that is not spiritual activity that you want. It is not godly spiritual activity. It is demonic spiritual activity, or distracting or destructive spiritual activity, but it's spiritual activity that you don't want. And so if we keep justice, then we are experiencing the blessing of God, because there's not going to be any rebellion. I want to encourage parents, live a just and holy life, because you don't want rebellion in your household when your kids get to be teenagers. You don't want that. I'm going to straighten the microphone here just a second here, so I can make sure that that I can communicate this directly to the microphone. Parents, hear me. You need to be passionately in love with Jesus. You need to be passionately serving faithfully in the house of God, because your children are watching. And if you've got any degree of rebellion going on in your life, the chances are, the odds are, that your kids are going to increase that percentage of rebellion in their lives. And you don't want that. You don't want that. And so I want to encourage you that if you don't want rebellion in your life, then don't sin, don't commit iniquity, don't do wickedly, don't fail to remember the multitude of God's mercies. Remember, do whatever is necessary to remember. So just about every smartphone has a calendar feature. I didn't used to use it. I now use it extensively. Because when my calendar gets full, I begin to forget things and say, you know what? I know that there's something coming up today, but I don't remember what it is. So I have some just regular doctor's appointments. You know, I've had surgeries on my eye. I've had some surgeries on my shoulders. I have regular dental visits and regular other doctor's visits. And so all of those are scheduled in about the same six-month window. And so I have to start putting those in my calendar so I don't forget what they are. Why, if we would do that for an appointment with a physician, why wouldn't we do that? Why wouldn't we make the effort to make sure we remember the things of God? Remember the miracles that he's done. Remember his intervention in our lives. Remember the blessings of people that he has blessed us with in our life. And so there is a blessing for those who live just, in that God's not going to rebel against them. But I believe there's also a blessing that you're not going to have sowed seeds of rebellion, so you are not going to reap a harvest of rebellion by those under your authority. Okay, what if you have? What if you have? What if you have sinned? What if you've committed iniquity? We all have. Nevertheless, that's verse number 8. I actually have that word circled. Nevertheless, it is a fantastic word, especially when we're talking about God. We're talking about God's justice. God is 100% just. He's 100% merciful. It says, nevertheless, he saved them for his namesake. He saved them for his namesake. God has committed himself to covenant, to walking in covenant with you, with me, with his chosen people. He is a covenant-keeping God. And so if he doesn't intervene because of our sinful behavior, many times he will intervene because of his namesake. There was an interesting conversation that Moses and God had. Moses was up on the mountain. The people were sinning horribly. down, and God said, let me wipe them out. I'll just wipe them out. We'll just start all over. And God could do that. I mean, he's God. But Moses said this, God, if you do that, the people will hear and they will say, God was able to bring them out, but he wasn't able to bring them in. Now, Moses is not telling God anything that God doesn't know. That's not the point. The point was Moses loved those people enough to intervene. And so we've got to love people enough to intervene, even when their behavior isn't what it should be, and God will bless them by saving them for his name's sake. And it goes on and it says this, that he might make his mighty power known. Do you know that Pharaoh was raised up so that God could demonstrate his power in him? That's in the book of Acts. You can read it and see. God raised Pharaoh up to the throne, not so he could oppress God's people, but so that God's mighty power could be shown. And you say, well, then why would he be judging Israel and all the gods of Israel? Because he was going to show his mighty power on Pharaoh's behalf anyway. Well, did you know that God could have shown his mighty power on Pharaoh's behalf the same way that he did for Cyrus? Cyrus made a decree and said, hey, we're sending you back. We're going to fund the reconstruction. It didn't have to be a negative demonstration of God's power. It could be a positive demonstration of God's power. So there is a blessing for those people who keep justice, not only because we don't experience the rebellion, but because God's going to save people and he's going to make his mighty power known in our lives, through our lives, to those that we come in contact with. So let's go to verse number 9. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it dried up. He led them through the depths as through the wilderness. He saved them from the hand of him who hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. The waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then they believed his words and they sang his praise. So the second thing is that we can see as a blessing for those who keep justice in verse number 3 is that we are blessed by God removing any oppressor from our lives. I don't know if you've ever had a tormentor or an oppressor in your life, but God has the ability to take care of those. If you and I live justly, if we live righteously before God, God says, I'm going to bless you. He is not going to tolerate an oppressor continuing to rule and reign and dominate and destroy the people that are living the way God wants them to live. And so there is another blessing here in this particular passage that is described, and it says that they were blessed with faith or the ability to believe God's words. Okay? Then they believed his words and they sang his praise. Okay? So there is a blessing to be able to believe. I had a conversation with someone, and they were describing a situation that had been going on in their life for quite some time. And this person loves Jesus. This person's actively serving the kingdom of God, doing well in every area of his life, and there was just an attack of the enemy that had been successful over and over and over again, and it was all based on something that wasn't true. And so I happen to know, you know, this person pretty well, and so I asked them about an area in their life where they have some knowledge. And said, would you trust anything that this person has to say? This person, this person, this person, this person. And they said, no, I wouldn't trust them. I wouldn't believe them. And I said, why is that? And they were, well, because they lie. They don't tell the truth. And I said, it's been demonstrated. It's been proven over and over and over again. They don't tell the truth. But yet, in spite of all of that, there is still a large number of people that continue to believe the things that these people say, even though it's been proven repeatedly that the claim isn't true. And so what I said to this person is, when that attack happens, here's what I want you to do. I want you to respond in this manner. Devil, you lied yesterday when you said that. Today proves that you lied yesterday. Yesterday proved that you lied the day before that, and the day before that, and the day before that. You have proven yourself repeatedly to be propagating falsehoods, and I'm calling you out. I'm calling you a liar, and I'm not going to believe the things that you say anymore. Okay? That's the way you combat deception and distortion of the enemy, by bringing forth the truth of God's word. And you and I, we are blessed that the faith that has been given, the measure of faith that has been given to every person, when we are living justly, when we are living righteously, God blesses us by activating that faith. Has your faith been activated? How long has it been since your faith has been activated? And you say, you know what? I believe what God said. I don't care what anybody else has to say. Let God be true. Let everybody else be a liar. I'm going to put my faith and trust in God's word. That's a blessing. Faith is a blessing. Having an oppressor removed from your life is a blessing. Not having rebellion in your life, that is a blessing. Verse number 13. By the way, when it said they sang his praise after the armies of Egypt were drowned in the Red Sea, that is where the Song of Miriam came about. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider thrown into the sea. Old youth group song. And just so you know, when it says they sang his praise, they weren't just the Holy Spirit says, you know, I'm looking for a good line that would fit right here, and maybe they sang his praise would fit. No, it actually did take place. Verse number 13, they soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Did you know that just because you get your prayer answered does not mean that you are blessed? I'm going to say that again. Did you know that just because you got your prayer answered does not mean that you are blessed? Because here they forgot his works. They didn't wait to hear what God advised. They longed. They had ungodly longings of an extreme magnitude going on in the wilderness. They tested God repeatedly. And then whenever they made a request, he gave them their request, but listen to what came along with the answer, but sent leanness into their soul. Sent leanness into their soul. Their soul was starving. They got what their flesh craved. They got what their stomach craved. But what happened was there was a negative supply for their soul. And instead of growing stronger in their mind, their will, their emotions, their commitment to God, instead of thriving spiritually, instead they experienced spiritual leanness. What if I told you that blessed are those who keep justice because they are not going to have leanness in their soul, they are going to have strength in their soul. They're going to be empowered. They're going to be equipped to do great things. See, God does not just want you barely existing. So I'm preaching this not to you, teaching this not just to you, but I'm declaring it over Merit Assembly of God. We are not meant just to exist. We are meant to plunder the kingdom of darkness. Okay? You're not just supposed to barely eke by an existence financially. God wants you prospering and in health even as your soul prospers. Okay? 3 John 2. May you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Well, if you are experiencing leanness in your soul, what's that mean about your prosperity, your well-being, your whole, your completeness? What's it mean about that? Well, it means there's going to be a lot of areas of leanness in your life. May you be in health even as your soul prospers. If there is leanness in your soul, it means that there's going to be an impact on you physiologically. Okay? A lot of times, whatever goes on physically impacts us as far as our mental well-being goes, but spiritually, it can have the adverse reaction as well. If there's leanness in your soul, it can negatively impact you spiritually. Blessed are those who keep justice. They will not experience leanness in their soul. So let's go down to verse number 19. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molded image. Thus they changed their glory into the image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, awesome things by the Red Sea. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen one, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he destroy them. Do you realize that you and I are blessed with an intercessor? We're actually blessed with multiple intercessors. We are blessed with Jesus interceding at the right hand of the Father. We are blessed with the Holy Spirit interceding for us in accordance with the perfect will of God. And if you're walking in fellowship with people in a church, you're blessed with people who are praying and interceding for you on a regular basis because they love you. And if you come from a godly family, there's more than likely someone who is interceding for you, even if you are walking in sin. There's a mama, a daddy, a grandma, a grandpa, an aunt, an uncle, a brother, a sister, somebody who is interceding, and that is a blessing. Having someone who is willing to position themselves between the harm that is headed your way and you is a tremendous, tremendous blessing. One of the blessings of living a just and holy life is that you have someone who is interceding and standing in the gap for you. Verse number 24. Then they despised the pleasant land. They did not believe his word and complained in their tents and did not heed the voice of the Lord. So here in verse number 12, it says, then they believed his words. And then in verse number 24, they said they did not believe his word. Pick a side. Either we believe God and his word or we don't. But we need to get away from this fragility of faith. The blessing that comes from living a just and righteous life before a just and righteous God isn't a fragile faith. It is a formidable faith. It is a formidable faith. And so they experienced a whole lot of complaining, and they did not hear or listen to the voice of the Lord. One of the blessings of living righteous before God is that we hear his voice. I had a friend, and he wasn't one of my closest friends, and you and I, or he and I wouldn't think we would have a whole bunch in common. He was on staff at a very large and impactful church, and I was a young pastor of a small, struggling church, and yet every time I went to a district event, this particular gentleman would, I mean, he'd treat me like, you know, I was one of his best friends. He was just a fantastic individual. And then one day I got word that they'd moved out to a different state, and he was pastoring a church and doing quite well, and he passed away. This goes back 4 or 5 years ago. And so they were having a memorial service for him at the church where he had been on staff. And I went to that service, and his widow got up and spoke. And, you know, relatively young man, in his 50s, I believe he was, when he passed away. And she got up there, and she empowered those people in their faith. You would think that she would be the one that was broken and fragile, and instead there was a tenacity in her faith, and she ended up ministering to all of those who had come there to support her. And she, you know, if I could summarize the message, it was this: my faith is in Jesus Christ. My faith was in Jesus before I married my husband. My faith was in Jesus while I was married to my husband. My faith is in Jesus after my husband has been promoted, and I do not have a fragile faith. Get up, do the work of the ministry, fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. Blessed are those who keep justice, because they will not have a fragile faith. They will have a formidable faith. And I want you to have that type of faith. God bless you. I pray that you have a great Thursday, and we will see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio Program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Jesus, please don't let this go.